Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is May 2nd, 2019.
Since the world is in turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is
620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, and in an emergency, you can text him at 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news at the Wichita Mission Church on the radio program archives. Contact information and all is at our mystery hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, I got it, buddy, and that's what you got out of that, you can always find updates with the breaking news. That's just regular news everywhere, and then things about the Wichita Mission Church. Then the radio program archives are there, and contact information. All
that's exactly what I just said.
No, you didn't. Go back and listen to it. You'll see. Anyway, my wife's here, as you can tell, with me again, and I love having her here. I just told her, and that's a big admission. Now I'm in trouble for it. Anyway, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally. It's on YouTube and on some FM station. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note,
let's thank our listener base worldwide, places like the city of Zagreb, Croatia.
That's Croatia.
Croatia?
Croatia.
Okay. Vienna, Australia. Krasnodar, Russia Federation. Perth, what?
Just
Australia.
Perth.
Are you Russian collusion here? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Okay. And, of course, the good old cities in the U.S. like Long Beach, California, St. Paul, Minnesota, Cincinnati, Ohio, and Anchorage, Newport, Northport, Alaska. And Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest listener base in when it podcast to the program's podcast later tonight. Blah, 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 blah. It's better to say it than read it, right?
Right. Actually, the notes are not, other than like the names of the cities, the notes are just like a mental reminder. That's what you need to say.
Yeah.
So you put it in your own words how it comes out. And so, folks, yes, she's still in training. And so, but she's getting better. You can always comment her if you want to. You can send her an email.
He's shaking in his shoes. I'm going to steal his job.
It's still my job. Right. Yeah.
I don't really care to have his job, though. It's too much work.
Yeah. There's a lot of work.
Too much reading, and I don't really like to read anything but the Bible, so.
I'm hearing.
I hear back something. Too.
Not anymore, you don't. I got rid of it. Okay. Now prayer will. Oh, please follow us and share it on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will. Thank you for all things, Father. Thank you for our listeners. And just bless all those who are listening to us tonight, Father. Open their ears where they might really hear, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen.
And amen. Amen.
Well,
hello. Shalom.
Shalom. Okay. Well, I'm going to get right this and to this, and I'm going to do a little bit of we are in a kind of a dire circumstance right now. I don't know if you've been following Venezuela thing? Probably not.
I've seen a couple of news flashes on it, and I've seen it on Fox News, yeah, where the it was in uproar. The citizens are trying to...
Okay. Let's go with this. Anyway, the poor citizens in that country right now are in... There's another leader. They had an election, but they proved that part of the election process was illegal, and so the current man that's in office, you know, didn't recognize it. Well, then they now have Cuban troops in there, 20,000 Cuban troops in there with Russian advisors backing this bogus president up. Now, but the U.S. has said that it's bogus, and there's a lot of other Western countries that are backing the U.S. up too, saying the same thing, that it was an illegal election and that the guy needs to step down and let the other guy take office. But now yesterday we had an incident where they tried to get the people to rise up, but, you know, it's really hard for the people to rise up.
No weapons.
Guess what? The president before this current one, he disarmed the citizens back, I think.
For their own protection.
Right, back in 2012. And so this is what happens when you had armored vehicles against unarmed citizens running them over yesterday. So anyway, but right now, so the U.S. said that we might military intervene if this doesn't come to an end. So what Michael's in an email that Michael Snyder, who's been on this program a bunch of times, pointed out last night you can go ahead and read that.
Two aircraft carriers have left port, are the USS Eisenhower and the USS Roosevelt, headed south toward Venezuela. Juan Guaido has initiated a violent uprising in an attempt to overthrow Nicolas Maduro, and it appears that the U.S. may be preparing to intervene in the conflict militarily.
Right, and so now I'll go on with the USNI Navy Fleet and Marine Tracker. That's the thing that accurately tracks current positions of U.S. naval assets all over the world. You know, then you can go to it and it'll tell you where they're at. Dwight D. Eisenhower has left port on the East Coast, and the U.S. Theodore Roosevelt has left port on the West Coast. In both cases, each aircraft carrier was originally slated for training exercises, but now they put out a lot of speculation that they're streaming towards Venezuela. But we have other things and I'll read this because this is hard to decipher. An Intel radar now reports, and you can go to Twitter and get this, and it's a tracker for ships and things like that. It says, and it was breaking, it says the U.S. Navy did deploy two aircraft carriers, both southbound, one from each coast, amid the Venezuela crisis. So you have both of them, one coming from the East Coast, one coming from the West Coast, coming down to Venezuela. Eisenhower left Virginia, headed south on the same day that Roosevelt deployed out of San Diego, headed for the Panama Canal. Now, on the second update they gave out, it says the U.S. Navy Nimitz class aircraft carrier Dwight Eisenhower seems to be headed south off the East Coast towards Venezuela. And then the third update came out and said America roll-on-roll-off aircraft carrier departed Mexico with a fake destination, hiding their destination. Now, so they're putting out bogus signals so they don't know where they're headed, right?
Roll-on-roll-off, that's an airplane carrier they can land on and take off on, right?
Yeah, you're pretty smart for a woman, aren't you? I wouldn't say that. You know, actually, I would say that you're intelligent or highly intelligent. Of course, you get that from me.
Well, I don't know what else they'd be rolling on and rolling off of.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the garbage. You know, I don't know. Anyway, update 4 says U.S. Dwight D. Eisenhower has earned a number of awards, and we won't go into that, but they are headed there. And we have update 5. It says the LSV Venezuela naval frequency is active with Morse code in the background, so you're getting, which means that you're getting communication back and forth from them. And a U.S. Navy combat support ship has also departed Norfolk just a little bit ago. That means that there's also backup ships coming. Now, they wouldn't send backup ships and hiding their position all this if they weren't going down there to do it. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, we shouldn't be interfering in it. Well, I'm going to prove why we should be interfering in it. Absolutely. Now, but right now, we are hearing that Russia has secretly installed, now this came out of a congressman yesterday, that the Russia has secretly installed nuke missiles in Venezuela, nuclear missiles. This sounds just like the Cuban Missile Crisis that was back with Kennedy when we almost went to nuclear war. But a Republican congressman, Mario Diaz-Balart, I've never heard of him, but he said on Fox News and several other stations that it's a direct threat to national security, and he's the one that spit it out about the nuclear missiles. Now, congressmen, clearly, they get to see more information than we do, but I wonder if he's even supposed to be spewing this information out. And, of course, there's no confirmation or anybody coming and denying it. See, there's the big deal. Now, so why should we intervene? I mean, you know, right now Russia doesn't have influence in this side of the world, and we don't want that, and there's a reason for that. Now, there's a president called James Monroe that made this, and I'll let you read this if you want, and it's called the Monroe Doctrine, and this gives us the basis why we would intervene with that or anything that Russia has to do or in this part of the world.
Excuse me. Okay. December 2nd, 1823.
It's called the Monroe Doctrine.
The Monroe Doctrine. Cornerstone of U.S. foreign policy initiated by President James Monroe in his annual message to Congress, declaring that the old world and the new world had different systems and must remain distinct spheres. Monroe made four basic points. The United States would not interfere in the internal affairs of or the wars between European powers. The United States recognized and would not interfere with existing colonies and dependencies in the Western Hemisphere. The Western Hemisphere was closed to the future colonization, and any attempt by a European power to oppress or control any nation in the Western Hemisphere would be viewed as a hostile act against the United States.
Okay, so on that last one, we would view anything, and they are intervening, because if the Russians and the Cubans weren't there, this president would already be down and out and gone. In fact, he was getting, according to Mike Pompeo, he was getting ready to get on an airplane and fly out and give up the presidency, but the Russians convinced him to stay. That is directly interfering with doctrines. And those, you have 20, while the Russians are using Cuban troops, that still absolutely means that, it still absolutely means that they are interfering, because Cubans are pawns of the Russians and always have been. That's what created the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so, anyway, so they are interfering, and so we, now we can't confirm the presence, again, we cannot confirm the presence of the Russian nuclear weapons there, but we do know for sure that there are Russian advisors and 20,000 Cuban, soldiers there backing them up. Now again, in Venezuela, now here's where it is. Hugo Chavez entirely banned the civilian ownership of firearms and ammunition in 2012 after a period of amnesty, which the people could turn in weapons. Now, again, to the people, they're saying, well, you know, they should rise up against the government. Well, we saw that happen with people getting run down because they were throwing rocks at the tanks or armored vehicles, and, you know, they ran them over. I mean, what good is a rock against a tank or, you know, an armored vehicle? And that's what but you see, look at America. That's what the Socialist Party, the Democratic Socialist Party, which they want to be called even now, those leftists, that's what they want to do. They want to take away your guns so they can do anything they want to you that you cannot rise up against them. Hitler did it. Countless dictatorships have did it. Soviet Union did it over and over and over and over again. That's what happened. Take away their guns so they don't have no rights. And so that's what that gun grab is all around. Now, Mike Pompeo, which is from Kansas, like Mike Pompeo, that's the Secretary of State, said all military options are on the table and is advised Russia and the Cubans to stand down and get out of Venezuela. John Bolton has repeatedly insisted that all options are on the table regarding Venezuela, and he told reporters he made this following statement. Here, you can read that.
This is our hemisphere, he told reporters outside of the White House. It's not where the Russians ought to be interfering. This is a mistake on their part. It's not going to lead to any improvement of relations.
And it could escalate into, depending on what kind of, it could be, we could see a showdown between Putin and Donald Trump to see who is stronger at will. I would venture to say that I don't think that Donald Trump will blink at all. And he shouldn't blink. And I don't care, really, even if the people in Venezuela really didn't even want a new leader there, which, by the way, they're starving to death and everything, we know that. They barely can get any food, and they have no medical supplies, most of the time have no electricity. But even if the people didn't want a new leader, we should interfere because of what Russia is doing there, because Russia has no right to have a nuclear base in this side of the world.
Right.
That, and that's been established. That's what the Cuban missile crisis are about. But this, eventually, I believe there is going to be, because I believe what Dmitry Dudeman says, and we will get to that prophecy. I'm going to have you read it here in a little bit. But it talks about an attack from that part of the world, you know, and Russia against the United States. Many people have seen that in visions, other than Dmitry Dudeman. I don't believe that was an open vision. He was showed these things by an angel. I don't think you really call a visitation by an angel a vision. A vision is something basically you see in your mind.
Well, then the angel took him places. That's called astral. What is that called? Where you go somewhere in your dream? It's got
a name. But he's not. But it wasn't a dream. That was the point. He was sitting outside. Many different times it was visitations, like he was just there and spoke with him. And other times he had dreams. You know, we tend to call some of those things open visions where it takes you someplace, but, you know, a visitation is a visitation. That's different. But anyway, people like Henry Gruber and other people, and this man that I am going to have on, I decided to have on radio tonight at 7 o'clock. He's I don't know whether he calls himself, Hebrew roots or Messianic, but he's a minister, and he had a vision about what happens in America after a civil war. Now, many people have, and Dmitry Dudeman talked about that Americans would be fighting each other and sidetrack that, and when they were sidetracked with that, there would be a war, a nuclear war with Russia.
Confirmed it, so we've got confirmation, and if more than two confirm it, then it's it's going to come to pass.
Well, it's many more than two.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The word only says you need two confirmations, but if you've got all these other confirmations, then why wouldn't you believe it?
Well, you should definitely take it under your advisement, because the problem is that when it is established by two or more witnesses, you need to know about, is that witness repeating something that he heard or saw, or whatever, you know. So there is that. But with the number of people that have seen it, and in different places from around the world, then, you know, it makes it more credible. And so, you know, and it comes to pass, you know, no matter what, we have what, it's really all about Israel in the finale of things. And right now, America is still acting as Israel's protector, just as they have been ever since they went back and became a country and was declared so with the United Nations. But Israel is, so at some point, though, America can't be there to help Israel to back the rest of the world down like they have been doing all this
time. That's when God steps in, right?
Right, because the people are going to call out to him in strength instead of calling out to the United States to help them. You know, not that some of them aren't doing it now, but it'll be massively. And so when Yeshua comes back and stops it, you know, when he comes back and stops it and makes war against these people who are warring against Israel, then they will accept him as their Lord and Savior, you know, as Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, you know, and he'll take the throne of David for 1,000 years, and then, you know, great white throne judgment after that, then the Father in New Jerusalem comes down and all that. And, you know, one thing, a big thing that people miss in Bible prophecy, especially these people, there's a lot of people out there now that try to say everything in Revelation 21 happens at once and tries to put off, and says even in 22 where it says New Jerusalem comes down and that'll be where the temple is and all that, where he'll rule from, are completely wrong because they don't read their Old Testament. The Old Testament in Ezekiel, we have the Ezekiel temple that is built by Yeshua, that's built by Messiah for that 1,000-year period of time. And so it doesn't come down from heaven. It does after 1,000 years. That's a completely different temple. You know what I'm saying? But so these people are just simply wrong because they don't read their Bibles, I guess. But anyway, so when we come back, we've got some other things to talk about, and we will open it with talking about Dmitri Dudeman's, we're not going to go into the whole big, long, lengthy one, but I've got a shorter version for you to read, and we'll talk about it. But, we've got about a minute and 19 seconds. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find the information about the Mission Church and where the radio archives are?
And how to donate and all the stuff. And all the information is over there at prophecyhour.com.
Prophecyhour.com. Yes, folks, and if you care to donate to, and also pray about supporting radio, folks, because radio isn't free, and it's now May 2nd, and it's due again. I need to come up with $300 to pay our producer over there, Frank, who happens to be the founder of American Voice Radio. And by the way, you can hear Frank on this program sometimes, or you can hear him every day and right before this program on AmericanVoiceRadio.com. He has his own problem.
Everybody has those, right?
Yeah, he has his, he has me and you, don't he?
He's had us from the beginning. Well, he's had you from the beginning.
He has his own program called The Frank Report, and where Frank is very frank about everything.
As I was saying, he's quite frank.
Yeah, exactly. And he's probably over there right now about to strangle us. But anyway, hey, we'll be back in about how many minutes?
4 minutes, 20 seconds.
Okay.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame by the power of God's glory, standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. Take his sandals off as he was standing holy proud. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing on holy ground. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing on holy ground. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, but they had their sandals off and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down. They were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I am the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. was standing, standing, hold me ground, holy ground, holy ground. They were standing, standing, holy ground. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
The Bible says that Jesus is God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. We are told that he is the image of the invisible God, and that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Bearing this in mind, let us consider the fact that it was Jesus who in 6 days created the heavens and the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God, Elohim, Jesus, ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God, Elohim, Jesus, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work. Yes, it was Jesus who sanctified the Sabbath day at the time of creation, thousands of years before the commandments were given on Mount Sinai. It was Jesus on Mount Sinai who wrote the commandments in stone, and it was Jesus who laid down his life to pay the death penalty required for breaking the commandment to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let us not tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to the American Voice Radio Network, and this is Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. And we are back, and we've been talking about some things happening in Venezuela, and which brought us to talk about there's many dreams and visions out there to talk about America getting into a war with Russia. And this one is most convincing because this was a visitation. I met this man in person. I met Dmitry Dudeman in person, and when I did meet him, man, he had eyes. He just like he could just look right through you, and you know it was pretty astounding. But anyway, this is part. So an angel came and visited him. Now you all should go over there, and I'll post it at prophecyhour.com. If you go to the pastor's page, I will post a link to his story and all his dreams and visions. You should go over there and read it, but you should read his story. And his book, you should get his book, which is Through the Fire Without Burning. But anyway, so this is, he had asked, the angel had told him that America was going to burn in 1 hour. And so this is just an excerpt of what that is. So for the sake of time, we're only going to do part of it. Go ahead, brother.
He showed me all of California and said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. All of this, in one day it will burn. Its sin has reached the Holy One. Then he took me to Las Vegas. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. Then he showed me all the state of New York. Do you know what this is? He asked. I said, no. He said, this is New York. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. Then he showed me all of Florida. This is Florida. He said, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. Then he took me back home to the rock where he had begun. In one day it will burn. All of this I have showed you. I said, how will it burn? He said, remember what I am telling you, because you will go on television and on the radio and in the churches. You must yell with a loud voice. Do not be afraid, because I will be with you. I said, how will I be able to go? Who knows me here in America? I don't know anybody here, he said. Don't worry yourself. I will go before you. I will do a lot of healing in the American churches, and I will open the doors for you. But do not say anything else besides what I tell you. This country will burn. I said, what will you do with the church? He said, I want to save the church, but the church has forsaken me. I said, how did they forsake you? He said, the people praise themselves. The honor that the people are supposed to give Yeshua, Jesus Christ, they take upon themselves. In the churches, there are divorces. There is adultery in the churches. There is homosexuality in the churches. There is abortion in the churches, and all other manners of, and all other sins that are possible. Because of all the sin, I have left some of the churches. You must yell in a loud voice that they must put an end to their sinning. They must turn toward the Lord. The Lord never gets tired of forgiving. They must draw close to the Lord and live a clean life. If they have sinned until now, they must put an end to it and start a new life as the Bible tells them to live. I said, how will America burn? America is the most powerful country in the world. Why did you bring us here to burn? Why didn't you let us die where all the Dudemans have died? He said, remember this, Dudeman. The Russian spies have discovered where the nuclear warehouses are in America. When the Americans will think that it is peace and safety from the middle of the country, some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the ocean, from Cuba, Nicaragua, and Mexico, he told me, to two other countries, but I didn't remember what they were. They will bomb the nuclear warehouses, and when they explode, America will burn. What will you do with the Church of the Lord? How will you save the ones that will turn towards you, I asked. He said, tell them this, how I have saved the three young ones from the furnace of the fire, and how I saved Daniel in the lion's den is the same way I will save them.
Okay, amen. Now, as I said before, many people have seen visions of this, visions, dream visions, and open visions of this same thing. I don't know that any of them personally that I can think of that's had it. Maybe that's had a actual visitation from an angel. I do think that, I can't think of his name, but there's that one Indian minister that may have had a visitation, but I don't know. But some things that people need to look deeper in there is, now you remember the story of Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
Right. Now, they put them in because they wouldn't bow down to a false idol, and obey what the king said. Then they put them in the fiery furnace to burn them up. Right?
Right.
Okay. Well, then they saw, even the fire was so hot, even the people that put them in the fire were burned up when they opened the door to put them in. Well, they saw somebody. They said it looked, in the King James Version, it says it looked like the Son of Man walking around inside of them. Some say it was an angel. Some say it was Yeshua. Some say it's Yahweh. I'm not going to debate that point. But they were saved by the Father. But why were they saved? What was the peculiar thing about them that made them where they were, what they were? Why did he save them?
As a witness to show that the Lord is real and the Lord is there.
But,
and by their faith, because they believed in the Lord.
And they were, let's go for a word.
Faithful.
Faithful, which means, if you're faithful, means you're obedient to the word, right?
Right.
Okay, so they were obedient to the word, where they would not bow down to another god.
Right. They kept the Lord's ways, the Lord's word, and stood for the Lord.
Right. And so even in the face of death, in order to be saved in this time of trouble that's come upon the world, then we need to be as the same as Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego, in the same way it says with Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for the same problem.
Right.
He wouldn't bow down to their god, and so they threw him in the lion's den. Well, it was the same thing. These were Jewish, by the way, folks, these were Jewish people. You should read your Old Testament. But anyway, the point is that they were saved because they were faithful, like you said, but faithful means obedience. You know, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit on the next program. My wife won't be with me, but I'm going to be talking with this minister, who, by the way, said his Sabbath service was going to be this week over being faithful. But the point is, with faith is an action word. It doesn't mean just sit down. It means act on your faith. You know, you have to, if you say, well, I believe, then if you're a Christian and you believe, then you need to believe the word. You need to believe what it says. That means you can't stall on any point. That means you must believe that the world was created in 7 days. You know, well, on the seventh day, the Father rested. You must believe those things. You must believe all of his word, not just the points that you pick and choose over it.
Right.
And so, that really matters. Now, right now, this is really, all of this, let's go backwards a minute. I got something else to talk about that I want to add to this. So part of this, in this, it said that it would start with, it looked like what would be an internal revolution, people in the middle of the country fighting against the government. Well, we could see that right now. I could see that clearly right now. First off, if you ask me, the Democrats are right now fighting against the government, but
right.
I don't really think that's what it's talking about. But they're not willing to do anything. They're not doing things right, period, in the House. And, you know, like this drilling of Barr, you know, trying to say he lied for Trump and covered up for Trump. And they keep screaming for the whole report, the Mueller report, to be released in full. That's just a talking point, because they've even been offered to go over and look at it and read it themselves, and they haven't even went over and read the whole report, because they know it's a nothing burger. It's nothing, you know, but it's just something to scream about, because they're scared to death that Trump's going to be reelected. So they're trying to do anything to stop him, and that's roughshod over the country. But look at their field of the people that are running against Trump. I mean, you have a gay man and his husband or wife, whatever he calls her, I don't know whether he calls him his husband or his wife, but he's married to another gay man, and he's running for president. And he's not as high up there as Biden is. He is, he's one of the front runners. But they have like 20 people out there running for election. But what I'm trying to point out is, if you look at all the things that they're screaming about, you know, these guys are just simple as just all you can, you know, you just can't believe it. And they're trying to destroy America. They'll take the borders down. There will be no border. Right now we have a humanitarian crisis at the border. And all these things are going on, and they don't care. It's just all about power. And then, like they say, the part of their platform is taking the guns and all that. America will be no more. But we have enough, there is enough votes to stop it. Where do you think those votes could come from?
Christians.
Yeah, absolutely. You almost think you might have read my notes.
No, I posted yesterday something that said so many millions of Christians stayed at home on the couch instead of voting, so that's, they just get out and vote. We got a landslide.
Yeah, absolutely. They had a real good example of that in 2012. 54 million evangelicals did not vote in 2012. And if they got up, now I know a little larger percentage of the evangelicals did vote for President Trump, but there was a huge number that just sat at home. But why do you think that they sit at home instead of going and voting?
I don't think they think their vote matters.
Well, that's part of it, but as we've seen from the last few elections, your vote really, really does matter. But we have another thing there that's going on, and it has to do with the church. Now, you know, Dimitri Dudeman said the angel pointed out to him that the church, many of the churches, he didn't say all the churches, but many of the churches had left, you know, the Father.
Right.
You know. But part of them, which the ways that they left the Father, they have become instruments of the state. In fact, I know as a fact that the government sent to the big churches, they send them instructions on how to get old people and different people to follow them and do what the government says in times of disaster and a whole bunch of different things. They have a lot of training programs for pastors from the government. And that was done under Obama and Bush. Bush is the one that came up with it. Obama followed up on it. And I'm sure President Trump isn't doing it if he's aware of it. Okay. But let's backtrack. So the churches are being politically correct because of that 501(c) thing, even though President Trump signed an order that said not to punish ministers for talking politically or churches for talking politically. And that only exists while Trump's in office. But, the ministers still aren't speaking up. Well, why aren't they? Because ever since they got the 501(c), they go to these big schools, you know, to become a minister, a minister's college or whatever, and it's put in them not to do any political speech. So they don't do what they had did for ever since America was started, and probably since the beginning of time that there ever was a church. They have stood up and talked about elections and about their leaders and about who, like they'd say, well, this guy's corrupt. You shouldn't vote for him, or you shouldn't vote because he's an abortionist,
right,
and so on and so forth. But most of the mainstream church does not do that. And so that is the biggest place of influence for Christians, of course, is in the church. If the pastor stood up and spoke out and said, you need to get out there and vote or America's not going to be here, then what would happen? Well, then it would turn things around. Then they would get out, they'd listen to their pastor, they would go, and they would vote, and that would change things. Christian churches also need to be hosting voter registration drives. That's to help people get signed up and to get them involved to vote. They also need to be, pastors need to go back to speaking about social issues in the light of the Bible. You know, absolutely. We should be talking about all the murderous abortions. It's just like right now, you have this one Alabama lawmaker that says this. An Alabama lawmaker said this on Wednesday. He says, either you kill them now or you kill them later. You bring them into the world unwanted, unloved. You send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now or kill them later. And this was Representative John Rogers, again, Democrat, from Birmingham, Alabama. And he even posted it on Twitter. So he's saying, kill them. So then that means if he's saying kill them, then doesn't that mean that he knows that they're a live child?
Doesn't that mean murder? Murder is kill. Kill them. That means they have a beating heart. They're alive. Kill
right.
means kill something that's alive. So that is murder.
Right. So that and there are some cases out there where they have signed some abortion laws that are definitely going to end up in the Supreme Court's lap. And I just pray that our Supreme Court has the courage to stand up and say, yeah, Roe versus Wade was wrong, and that you don't have a right to kill something that is alive. But my point is this. But the church isn't speaking that. They should be speaking against murder. You should not vote. Look, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't vote for anybody that's pro-abortion or pro-gay rights, just to mention two major things. But there are many, many more things. What do you think?
Exactly. You shouldn't vote for anybody that's against morals and God's word. Why would you do that? If they're not with God, they're what? Against God. So why would you want somebody that it doesn't have any values running the country just to corrupt it?
Right. And absolutely. And let's go with this. So if they were hearing it from their pulpit, that might be different. But see, the church in itself, most of the Christian church, and I'm not saying all the Christian church by any means. I have not been in every Christian church, but I know what's coming out of the bigger mainstream churches and the ones that we see is the fact that they're not preaching against sin in general anyway. Now, they may be doing so in other countries, but in America, in generality, it is not. And that's supposed to be the job of the church. It's not supposed to be, hey, come for a circus-like entertainment center.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Well, they're teaching sins okay. Just look the other way, where they should be teaching sins not okay, and there's consequences for your actions. there's consequences. If you want eternal life, you need to live by the Lord. If you want death, then, you know.
Well, they don't realize that's what they're choosing. When the minister himself knows better, he should know his Bible. He should know that he should be preaching against sin, but it's going to be on his head because, you know, it goes back to Ezekiel 33. It talks about when a watchman sees evil coming upon the land, you're supposed to warn the people of the coming evil, of the bad thing.
Not accept it with open arms.
Right. And it says, if you do that, if you warn the people of what's going on, then you will save your soul. The watchman will save his own soul.
Right.
And then the blood will be on the head of the person that heard it and didn't act on it. But if the watchman does not warn the people, then the blood of the people is on his head.
Right.
And they are, speak up, and they are on his head. And so they will be standing in front of the Father. You know what I'm saying? They will stand in front of where Yeshua, because all judgment was given over to Yeshua. They will be standing in front of him and happen to explain why they did not warn the people.
Right.
And so, you know, but we live in America. People have easy access to Bibles. They have access to audio Bibles. They can't say, well, I can't read it, because they have audio Bibles. But here what we do see a trend is we have a lot of people leaving the churches. The church in America is basically dying. The established churches are having less and less people there. But a lot of people are going to online churches, like this fellow that I'm going to be talking to in an hour from now. He has an online church, and I understand that it's successful, but I'll find out when I talk to him. But a lot of people are hearing our messages on the Internet. What's the biggest problem with the Internet, though?
You can't really believe anything on the Internet.
Well, it isn't a question of you can't believe anything, but it's hard to find those things that you do believe that is worthy of belief.
And put it this way, the Internet's easily deceptive.
Easily deceptive, yeah. Anybody can type anything. Anybody can make something look like something.
Anybody can be anybody. Anybody can be anybody. Anybody can say anything. And, they can even be real good. It can be real bad. It can be true, but most of the time it usually isn't true.
Now, that's your good voice. That's the one you need to speak in all the time. But anyway, the point is that the church needs to start speaking up if America is to be, if this is even to be put off. I believe Donald Trump was given to us because of the cries of the people under Obama and under what the praying Christians believed. And so we were given a chance with Donald Trump. How long that chance lasts is up to the people to pray and be with him. And listen, you guys we fell down. You fell down in the last election because that's why the Democrats are in there and have control of the House. That shouldn't have happened. And so it's every election, not just the presidential election, every election. And if you can't see the evil coming from these guys, then you really need to be a friend. Well, we got about 4 minutes left. We need to talk about, talk about the Mission Church. So, what are we doing over there?
We're feeding and taking care of the people, but right now we need men's clothing. We need men's clothing bad. We have lots of women's clothes, but we need men's clothing.
Right, and we have more women's coming. We have some shipments coming of women coming, and we'll accept women's clothing.
Yeah, we'll accept anything you bring down there. It'll go out. I'm just saying the biggest need right now is men's clothing.
Right, and also, we also need our normal donations. Actually, we're sneaking up on summer real quick, and usually donations go down dramatically during the summertime.
Vacations and everything, yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yes, we need donations. We need everything you need.
Right. Yeah, we need to be able to pay the electric. We need to be able to pay the water. We need, and we pray for King. I do, and you folks know why we've been, if you're a listener, you know why we only want King James Version Bibles. You know, I might take Messianic Bibles or whatever, but King James Version Bibles, preferably, you can get a good Bible instead of buying 10 or 15 Bibles. Buy 5 or 6 Bibles that are large print, because you can get large print really pretty cheap. Or at least you can look online and see what font they are. You can get some pretty cheap deals online. Buy the case. we can't keep Bibles. We go through so many of them. You'd think, for as many Bibles as we've gotten rid of, you'd think the all of this part of the country, jokingly, has their Bibles memorized because they just can't keep them.
Yeah, we even had I think it was a church or someone donated like 5 or 6 cases of the hardback, those red church Bibles. I think there's only a few of those left. They're finally all
there's
gone.
There's like only one. There might be one in the whole place. And those was donated by a guy that worked for was volunteering at the Salvation Army, and he got fired because the Salvation Army, because they started taking money from government money, they didn't want them to have their Bibles in the place anymore. And so they was getting rid of the Bibles, and he took them and brought them to the church, and he got fired. And so that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and they were down to about 1 or 2 left. They finally all, because those are those old hardback that you find in the back of the pews.
Well, right.
It's like the hymnals you
right.
find.
And I didn't directly just put them all on the shelf. I've had, other than those Bibles, I've had a ton of other Bibles.
Oh, yeah,
throughout.
We've given away
It's just that I saved those back, you know, as emergency Bibles until I finally just put them out because I had a blank spot where I wasn't getting any, and so I just put them on the shelf, started putting them on the shelf, and they just went. And so, Bibles. We need all sorts of things, but pray about it. I mean, we used to do so many different things for the people that we're not able to do now, whether it's being able to get them shoes. And my heart was broken the other day, last Friday. I don't know if it was either Friday or Tuesday, a man came in with a woman, and they looked really pretty clean cut, and they didn't have any place to go. All the shelters that they called were full, and we had a man, a woman, and a child. But then I got the hot list from the hot team off the computer, and it had a few more places, and I gave it to them, and I was going to, then I thought about it, and I was going to tell them to, you know, if that didn't pan out, to come back and see me, but they left too quick. But yeah, every day there needs to be another shelter. If we had the money, seriously, if we had the money, we'd open a woman's shelter or a woman with a child shelter in a heartbeat. But you know, it's hard to break out of that establishment thing. First off, they don't, you know, we're messianic people. Those are weirdos down the street. They don't even keep Christmas. Okay. Well, there's that. And then there's the other thing that we're not a 501(c) church. While you can get a tax deduction by donating to us, we don't have that big long number that they want to use on the telephone.
And our building's not a church building with a steeple on top of it either. It's an old converted club that's turned into a church that has a lion on the building that says Messiah's Branch on it.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Yeah, a lot of times people just they say, oh, that's a church, you know. And it's, yeah, they say, well, where's your church at? Right here.
Here in it.
Well, Messiah's Branch, though, is realistically a home church with a building is what we are.
One big family. If you want to sponsor a meal, $50 usually helps. It usually pays for meal if I have other things to go with it. But if I have to buy everything, $100 sponsor a meal.
Yeah, it's basically $100 sponsors the expenses of the meal of the day, you know.
And we do that twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays, so all donations matter and help. We wouldn't be able to do it without your donations.
Well, folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donation, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and it's due right now. Donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or over the phone, or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at
prophecyhour.com.
That's prophecyhour.com. Or you could call us at
620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682.
Okay, tell them goodbye, Mom.
Shalom. Won't be here next week, week after.
Okay, folks, remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, folks, 3 days and 3 nights is his sign. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, potter I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that potter you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until a week, till an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.